Wednesday night. Time for Ask a Psychic with Danielle, live from GlobalPsychics.com. To call into the show in North America, dial 888-454-ASK-1. That's 888-454-2751. Or worldwide at 919-341-5615. And now, Ask a Psychic on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night, and this is Ask the Psychic. This is Danielle, and I have a very special guest with me, Jean-Claude Covent. We've had a number of his articles on our website for a lot of years because I really admire your work, Jean-Claude. You have a wonderful book, Going Deeper, that you've been promoting. And in a way, I feel like I know you because Going Deeper really is the story of your journey to what you might call enlightenment. Is that correct?
Oh, very much so. And to realize that every step of the way, I was simply on the surface.
Yes. And I really like your title because I keep talking to people about looking a little deeper, going a little deeper.
Sure. It's so easy if we don't have, you know, a polarized perspective, that what we see is just the glimmer off the surface, and we think that's all there is. So we get ourselves completely entwined with our humanness and all the drama that we have down here and lose sight of the larger picture all the time.
And a good place to start this interview, Jean-Claude, might be around how this applies to what's going on today and how this fits with your predictions and other predictions for these times.
I'd love to call them predictions, but they're not. I have the uncanny ability that I assume that everybody has by simply shifting the point from which I view, and I ask us to be taken to a higher perspective, and I don't ask for information. I ask, can I sit next to you and see what you see? And what I'll be talking about tonight is what I see today with a full understanding that all it is one person's point of view, and that I'm totally free to change this tomorrow and nobody holds me to it. Mm-hmm. But I can talk about that. And also, the one teaching before I dive into that I just want to leave people with, that the greatest truth that I've learned down here being on this planet, is that what you see depends on where you're looking from. And what astonishes me most about humans is their absolute refusal to shift, to let go of the point from which they've been told to view.
And so, Jean-Claude, you're ringing so many bells for me because my guides years ago said all they wanted me to do was shift my perspective.
Yes.
To move a few feet over and look from a different point of view.
Exactly. Now, if a person constantly holds on, or if I hold on to my point of view, why would it shock me or anybody else that what we see never changes?
Correct.
If we're constantly willing to shift the point from which we view, then we live in a kaleidoscopic environment in which change is the only constant. And we learn something that all there is out there that can be expressed in words is perception. That the concept of truth that we hold on to as so immutable because it was spoken by some alleged deity is just fabricated. And we end up in a state of fluidity where anything is possible. And we allow ourselves, for the first time, not to know answers. And I tell people, for God's sakes, please, 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 constantly ask questions, but don't look for answers. Allow the questions to be open. And that will open portals into the unknown, where the mind can't take you, where just spontaneous synchronicities will happen to you that will give you answers in ways you never, ever expected. And so there we are. Now, from there, I'll tackle the question of what do I see is happening.
Before you do,
yeah.
I just want to remind our listeners that you can call in with questions for Jean-Claude or for me at 51, sorry, that's my number.
that would have been tricky.
That won't work.
No.
At 888-454-2751 or from outside the U.S. and Canada, 919-341-5615. And tonight, as last week, because we have this very special guest, who I think has so much wonderful information to share with us. We're holding on the readings until the last 15 minutes of the show. And in order to get a reading, you are going to need to intuit the number between 1 and 50 that I have left with our producer. And so call in, give him your number, and he'll give you a slot if you come on that number or very close to it. And I've been thinking about it all day. It's a magical number, so I hope one of you will tune in and figure it out. In any case, and this evening we have Jean-Claude Covan with us, his book, Going Deeper. And what you just said, Jean-Claude, it's like peeling the layer off of an onion. When you put out a question and leave it open, it seems like the answer comes in layers as you go deeper and deeper into the answer.
Yes. Especially if it's an open-ended question, you know, that doesn't regard your egoic being of, you know, will I find the perfect mate, will my dog love me, or all the kind of questions that people generally ask.
Uh-huh.
If you peer out at the stars and realize that you're looking at portals into the infinite, or you could look into a baby's eyes and see a portal into the infinite, or a beautiful sunset, or a flower, or a symphony, and allow that to transport you outside of the mundane.
Absolutely.
And if you do that, you're going to find aspects of yourself that you never dreamed existed. And you're going to come into contact with who you truly are outside of the little egoic being struggling to make a difference or to find identity within an illusion.
That's quite a journey.
And all of this now, you ask what is happening, all of this now is coming. This is the coda, the last few notes of the symphony, the crescendo where everything now comes to a shift. It's not the end, it's actually the beginning. And the Mayans were talking about, and other indigenous cultures spoke about December 21st, 2012, because that is a very unusual, extraordinary astrological and astronomical alignment between our solar system, particularly the Earth and the central sun. And so that was looked at as the time of the shift when the new beginning would come.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's amazing that they came so close. They were only off by 4 years. We're in it.
Yes, I know. I certainly have felt it. My guides told me years ago that 2008 was the marker year.
Yes.
It's just a matter now of seeing how it manifests, really.
Well, what it's causing for people around us is a tremendous amount of stress. My wife's a naturopath, and I've gone to various conventions with her and talked to her and her peers, and across the board, within the medical community and the alternative community, the doctors are reporting a complete shift in what their patients are presenting. They have never seen this level of stress-related illness before.
And well, I'm certainly seeing it in my practice.
Yes, you were.
It has been quite frightening, actually, because what's really happening in my perception is that, in a sense, that the walls, the illusion is being forced away from us, and we are each being forced to look much more realistically and pragmatically at ourselves. For so many, these times have been, in a sense, about living a lie, and that lie eventually has to break down. And that lie has been held at such high levels in our universe in terms of the way the banking systems have functioned and fostered the illusion.
Mm-hmm. No, that's at the lowest level. You're absolutely right. What we are seeing right now on the planet is a complete unraveling. In fact, I'm calling this time for myself the Great Unraveling. All of our institutions are falling apart at the seams, whether it's financial, ecological, political, religious, sociological, on every single front.
Mm-hmm.
All of the old institutions no longer can contain the weight of their own structures. Everything is falling. And it's causing tremendous panic, not only within the individual markets, you know, certainly financial is a typical example.
Yes.
But the level at which politics are being played, or the level at which religion is playing itself out on the planet, all of the little arenas that we're used to holding on to, and to which we tend to go to seek our own identity, are falling apart. So what's scaring people is the loss of identity. What happens if I am not this? What happens if all of this crumbles? What will happen to me, to me, to me, to me? And the stress is always on the lowest aspect of that continuum. And so one of the things that I always look at when I talk to groups or work with people is I say, we need to completely redefine the arena. And where we've come apart, where we've come off the tracks, is in our definition of the concept of God. And here is where religions have done us a bit dirty. Most of the religions that we practice would make of God a noun. God is either he, she, it, mother, father, sister, brother, uncle, nephew, or whatever we want to call it, depending on how cosmic we are. But by making it a noun, we create an implicit separation between God the creator and the creation, the work, between the artist and the work. And since we are part of the creation, we are therefore separate from God. And that's resulted in a whole bunch of ritual and rite and hierarchy and power, and a situation where we believe ourselves to be judged by this God, and we are in propitiation to the God, trying to please the God or placate the God so that we can be given a boon after we die to live in one of the many mansions of the Father. And I would suggest that let's not make of God a noun. In fact, let's go beyond Bucky Fuller's concept, where he said God, it seems to me, is a verb, and let's not make of God any part of speech, and realize that it's far grander than we can speak about or hold with our little minds, and call God rather the all that is. There is nothing in all of creation, manifest or no, which escapes this definition. God is the unfoldment of creation itself. Everything is an aspect of the oneness. And it's not to say that if you have a tablespoon that God is in the tablespoon, but rather God is the tablespoon.
Yep.
God is you. There is nothing in creation which is not part of the oneness. Now, it's a very difficult concept to grasp with the mind, because the mind will fight it totally.
But I have found it to be tremendously comforting, especially when I'm really cheesed off and upset or fearful or angry. It's at that moment I'll turn to God and I'll say, hey, you know, I know you're feeling this. This is you.
Yep.
So what are we going to do here? You know, you can't like this any more than I do.
All you need to do is to shift to a point from which you can review it and see the incredible perfection of what's happening.
Yes.
Now, when I do that, and I'm very blessed. I still do have these constant conversations with higher intelligence, and for years I was calling this intelligence the guys. I would talk to the guys and they would tell me things.
Uh-huh.
And one day, and I kept asking, who are you? And all I got was total silence. And one day I was in a particularly powerful energetic stream, and there was no place for them to hide. And I said, who are you? And they said, do you really want to know? And I said, yes. They said, very well, we are you. And I thought, you know, how cosmic. I mean, we're all one and it's all that. But it turns out to be absolutely true. And each of us has that. Each of us resides on a continuum from our lowest egoic self through the soul into the God, an infinite continuum of being. And we have the ability, if we just exercise it, to view from any one of the points on the continuum. So when we have this conversation with our higher self, it's simply us talking to us, us asking a question from a lower perspective and answering the question from a higher perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to them, do me a favor, make room next to you. Let me sit next to you. And they go, sure, hop up. And each of us can do that. And if we ask the question, that's why I say, please don't try to answer it with your mind. Please don't look for the answers. Leave it open. And then stuff will come. And so when they let me sit there, here is what I see that's happening on this planet right now. In fact, on the entire solar system, we're moving through a very highly dense energetic burst that's transforming all consciousness within its sphere, and certainly the Earth is within its sphere. This is the trigger that's bringing all the change. What I have been shown now, from where I see, is that we've had a confluence, an overlapping coming together of multiple universes. I use the number 12 because it's convenient, and I can't tell you with any certainty whether it's 12, 1200, 12,000, or 12 million. I don't know. But we've had multiple universes overlapping, all sharing the same reality. They're all pulling apart right now. Here is where the great discomfort comes. Each of us resides on all 12 of these universes simultaneously. However, we only have two factors at our control, and this is crucial. It's the I am formula. Intention plus attention equals manifestation. All any of us own is how we direct our attention and how we direct our intention. We have nothing else at our disposal. Those are the two elements. And what we'll find is that each of us has a discrete resonant frequency that marks who we are, that can be seen from above. And each of these universes have a similar frequency. We will go to the universe where we feel the most comfortable. And we will pull away from that, put our attention on that reality in favor of all the others, and little by little, we will become vaguer and vaguer on the other realities and find ourselves primarily in that one. People on the other ones will see us sort of like disappearing, not in physical form, but just we're less there. We have less attention on it. And each of the universes will assume that they are the only outcome of what happened to planet Earth. But in fact, there will be at least 12, of which one will go to the next density, the promised land that everybody's talking about of light, love, compassion, the Christ energy density. One will go on the positive side, one will go on the negative. And the vast majority of all the others will continue this third density level, because it's incomplete for most people, either on a version of this planet, or it seems to me that the great majority of people will in time, as they die, reincarnate on another very similar planet at a far-flung part of the galaxy separate from Earth. So this entire illusion is being taken away, turned off. It's just giving no more novelty, and I'll explain that because this is a really interesting concept from my perspective, to the oneness. It's just tremendous pain and suffering that we add and add and add and inflict on each other. And it's gotten to the point where it's just sad. It's very sad from a cosmic view.
Yes, I have agreed over and over in my private meditations as I have looked out at the world.
Yeah. And in all fairness, if it were any of the listeners, and you had the power to say, you know, enough, let's turn this off. There's nothing more to be gained from this experiment. Let's just call it a day and give all these exquisite beings a chance to reassemble, rethink, reformat their own existences, and start anew. Let's wipe the slate clean.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't we do that? And that's exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah.
So We're all going to be going to exactly where we meant to go. This entire thing is perfect. Nothing needs to change. And I just wish us all Godspeed and well and great love in this process.
Now, Jean-Claude, in your conversation here, you've been alluding to something that I have been talking about in terms of a psychic ability, and what I've been picking up from you is the sense of how you tune in by simply shifting perspective. I talk about it like dialing the frequency on a radio station, where you're simply tuning into a specific frequency and you basically just go there. I find it very simple to do that. Difficult to explain how. You just kind of do it.
It is. It really is. And what I tell people, the exercise to do that most easily is when someone is speaking to you, focus less on what they're saying and whether you agree or disagree. That's meaningless. What is very meaningful is where are they sitting that causes them to see what they see, to say what they say. And allow that no matter what a person says, from his or her particular perspective, they're absolutely right. Now, what is that perspective? where you gain is in constantly being able to shift the perspective, or as an Indian might say, to walk a lifetime in someone else's moccasins.
You're reading my mind. Now, speaking of walking a lifetime in someone with moccasins, you certainly walk around this planet quite a lot. You've had some very interesting travels. You were in Machu Picchu this summer. Could you tell us a little bit about Machu Picchu, Jean-Claude, and what you experienced there?
I will, with the greatest of pleasure. In fact, I just had the incredible privilege and joy and honor of having lunch with Mark and Carol, who run the Wilcatica Lodge in Sacred Valley in Peru on the Urubamba River, right next to Machu Picchu. And we just agreed with them, and we said we were never going to do this again, but we just agreed to take one more group to their incredible place in Peru to have this experience again. But it was, for me, arguably the most life-changing experience. Machu Picchu is sold to the world as, you know, one of the great artifacts, one of the great archaeological sites, and it's very highly misrepresented. Machu Picchu is in actuality a living energetic grid.
Yes, I knew that. It's a power source.
Oh, beyond. It is unique. When you get there, you realize this place is so improbable. No roads go to Machu Picchu. You either have to walk in or take a train in. There is no road that will go there. And this is true for much of the Andean society. And you see, as you fly over the mountains, you see these isolated villages. No roads connect them, just footpaths.
Wow.
And the people who live there, and this is the heart of Machu Picchu, the people who live there are the Quechua. And they were there long before the Inca. The Inca, in fact, adopted their language as their language. And then the Quechua remained, and then the Spanish came and did horrific things to the Inca, God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Quechua remained, and then the Spanish left, and the Quechua remain even to today.
Uh-huh.
And because of the way they live, so incredibly isolated from each other, they depend on their community for their existence. And as a result, they formed a concept called Aini, A-Y-N-I, which loosely translated is today for you, tomorrow for me. But of course, tomorrow is another today, and this is for you. And so they are just beautiful, giving people. And they don't have to overcome ego. They have no ego. The whole concept of that makes no sense to them. And I found them to be beyond beautiful. And I found them to hold an energy that is everything that one day I aspire to become. And then being able to duplicate the point from which they view has absolutely transformed my life. And for those beings who can go through this sacred journey, to read Carol Kuhn's book, which is The Journey to Machu Picchu, but to enter it through her eyes and through the eyes of the Quechua, and she's been there for God knows what, I think for 18, 20 years, doing the work with the Quechua, and then as with the Quechuan heart, walk into Machu Picchu and experience the grid of the gigantic crystalline mountains and be transformed by them is an opportunity that's unlike anything that I have seen on this planet. And, you know, I've been to some extraordinary places. I've lived in Israel for 5 months and been to Glastonbury several times. And my favorite has always been the island of Iona off the coast of Scotland. And, you know, God knows where, to wonderful power spots, Sedona,
uh-huh.
Shasta, and...
You are truly blessed, Jean-Claude.
I am indeed. Beyond blessed. You know, that said, we were there this summer, and we just had the incredible gift of coming back from Bali, which is where we led a group of 21 gorgeous women down there as well. My wife and I led them. And it was just an amazing trip.
And I understand that something really special happened today for you.
I have to tell you about this because you caught me in a whirlwind. I was in Chicago in Lyle speaking at a metaphysical conference there, which just blew me away, the people that were there. And hopped on a plane on Monday, flew back to Palm Springs. My wife picked me up, rushed me into Los Angeles. We ran up into the hospital, into the labor room, and both of us assisted with the birth of our grandchild, Maya.
Oh, arguably, now there's a true blessing.
beyond. I told my wife, I looked up at her and I said, I have fallen in love. I am totally besotted. Damn the age difference. This is the most beautiful being I've ever seen.
Oh, how lovely.
Oh, she is just magnificent.
Well, we should feel very fortunate to have you on this special day. You must be just glowing today.
I am.
Now, certainly going deeper, and by the way, please give our listeners your website address so they can check you out and check out your book a little better.
I will. It's goingdeeper.org, O-R-G, and the subtitle is How to Make Sense of Your Life When Your Life Makes No Sense. With the full understanding that with what's going on right now, nobody's life makes any sense.
No.
This is not about selling the book, as all of your listeners will find. The entire book, the book in its entirety, is up on the website at no charge. And people are welcome to go there and read it. There's an index, there's a glossary, there's everything that you will need to go through this. And if you have an interest in how creation was formed, or at least from a perspective, where it's going, what the chakras about, what the densities are, you know, everything we're talking about, and then the entire background behind it, it will be there in a delightful story form, in a fictional form. That's just, I'm told, it's a joy to read. The book has won multiple awards. But people are welcome to go there. In addition, I have written for United Press International, a weekly column, for quite some time. So there's probably 100 different articles on the website. And you can look at that under UPI columns or under articles. You'll see a little thumbnail sketch of each. And if the subject interests you, click on it. Again, all that is available at no charge.
And I know I love your writing style and the subject matter, your approach to it. We've posted a number of your articles over the years on our website because you have such an uplifting and hopeful approach, and I think in times like this, we really need to be looking on the upside and where we're going. And speaking of which, your book was about your journey. Where is your journey taking you now, Jean-Claude?
Truly interesting. I've absolutely given up control of the wheel. Wherever this boat goes, there I am also. It is up to the universe now to determine where it is I'm needed next. That's why I was shocked when we met with Carol and Mark today, and my wife was sitting at the table with us, and we were talking about what an incredible journey we had to Peru, and she said, let's do it again. And my wife said, let's. I'm going, you've got to be kidding. In all of our conversations, she said, no, no, no. And she said, what do you say, Jean-Claude? I said, I'm going to go park the car. When I come back, I'll give you an answer. And the answer, of course, was overwhelmingly yes. But there you are. If you asked me yesterday, would we ever do another trip like this, the answer would have been no. So it's whatever the universe puts our way and asks of us, the answer is yes.
Well, what a wonderful way to look at life.
Well, it also opens up something that I'd like to share with you and the listeners.
Uh-huh.
Until a few weeks ago, I had three words that I live by, and I encourage everybody to find three words, whatever they are. And they were going to be my three words for the rest of eternity. And I tell people, you have them forever or until they're changed. And my three words were curiosity, and curiosity because to me that is the driving force of all creation, and that where humans fall apart is when they barter their curiosity for acceptance by their society. And that's what, to me, is the most killing element that we have on this planet, is people have lost their curiosity. So curiosity is my first word. My second word was willingness, which is still there, but in a different sense, which no matter what the universe asks of me, the answer is yes. And the third word was humility, because I never wanted for a moment to think it was coming from me. And what happened was I received an email from Tom Kenyon where he sent me one of the recent channelings of the Hathors. And the material was particularly interesting and on target, and they kept using the word appreciation where I would have used gratitude. And I know Professor Emoto did all this stuff with the water and used gratitude, and beautiful crystals came up.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying, God, these are incredibly intelligent, aware beings. Why are they dancing around the gratitude and using appreciation? I said, maybe there's something about these two words I don't know. So I went to the source. I mean, a source, certainly. It was Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and looked up gratitude and looked up appreciation. And it was like a ton of bricks. Gratitude is giving thanks as for something that's given to you, and there's a sense of debt.
I felt that as soon as you mentioned the word.
How interesting. And it's not a powerful word. We've The New Age has rallied around it, and the gratitude movement and all the stuff that has been there. But then you take appreciation, and you say, well, what does that mean? It's a sense of refinement. It's a sense of nuance and subtlety, where you go in and you appreciate the colors and the interplay of light in a sunset. You appreciate the way the notes flow in a symphony. You appreciate what it took for a person to come to you and do something, all the difficulty that it went through. It's not the surface thing of, oh, thank you so much, I owe you one. But you actually dive in and understand all of the subtleties behind it. And it is an extremely powerful word. Appreciation is worth 10 gratitudes to me now.
Yes. Well, it feels like a word that's filled with so much grace.
Yes, there you are. Exactly right. It's a word which is filled with so much grace. And then the other two words that came with it that crowded out my other guys was acceptance and allowance, or allowance and acceptance.
I've been writing about those two very topics.
How beautiful. How perfect. How perfect. And what got me, when I did this talk, Dr. Meg Blackburn was able to channel the masters, and they opened themselves up very, very graciously to be available to people in the audience to ask questions. And here we were in a conference dealing with the infinite, going out into the cosmos, talking about vast, vast topics, and all the questions, as I'm sure 90% of the questions that you would get are about my life. You know, will my husband come back? Will I find
yep.
the thing? Why? How is my daughter going to be? Why are we fighting?
Yep.
My sister is so mad. And I'm going, my God, you can answer all these questions. Just move into acceptance, allowance, and appreciation, and you will resolve every one of these questions. What is. There is no greater starting point than that as an acceptance. I accept what is. I allow it to be. I don't resist it. Pure Aikido, I move with the energy coming from these words. And now let me appreciate what's happening. Now I can see it from all points of view. I can see where I am stuck. I can see where my sister is stuck. I can see what's happening for me. I can see where I've resisted it. And I can see where I'm accepting it. And so it's not as if you're saying, well, what will the future bring? It's what will I bring to my future?
Wow. You know, Jean-Claude, so much of what you just said applies to our reading work. Global Psychics is a little different from other websites in the sense that we not only do readings, but we have some thousand of pages of information about metaphysics and spirituality and developing personal power. But in our readings themselves, people come to us, and I've trained my team to work from this place. We have to take people where they are.
Yes.
And so they come to us in pain over the breakup of a relationship, the loss of a job, or just the fact that they haven't found love yet or haven't found that job yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to work with them from that place, to help them find answers about that question. But it's a lot more than that, because we have to empower them to deal with what is, to allow what will come to come to them.
Yes, and not resist it.
That's so true. I see it so often in my clients, where the potential is there for a great romance or a great opportunity to expand spiritually, and they choose not to go there.
No, these are very scary times. They're pushing everybody to the edge. And what it's doing is it's pulling the fence away from all the fence sitters.
It's making us go there.
You either have to fish or cut bait at this point.
Yeah.
You either are going to move with the energies and allow it to take you into the next paradigm, if that's where you choose to go, or you're going to hold tight to fundamental beliefs, whatever they may be. It doesn't have to be religious. It can be fundamental beliefs about yourself or about other people in some sort of judgment comparison that locks you into a point of view that makes you resist and unavailable to all the wonderful things that could otherwise be flowing to you. There's a word that I use that people that, you know, that email me know that I sign off my emails. It's a word that I borrowed from Steve Rother and the group. Apparently it's a Lemurian word called espavo, E-S-P-A-V-O, which means reclaim your own power.
Mm.
And that is the one gift that all of my writings, all of my speaking, all of the work that I do is aimed to that, to tell people that they need to become self-referential. Don't look to others to tell you, hey, you look great today. You look into yourself, realize who you are, and you are great every day. And then if you want information or if you want answers, become your own source. Empower yourself to be who you already are. Break down your old walls, your own patterns that have confined you into a prism that's much too small for your soul.
Oh, Jean-Claude, you are such a breath of fresh air, darling. I want to invite you listeners to call in with questions for me or for Jean-Claude at 1-888-454-ASK-1 or 1-888-454-2751. Outside the U.S. and Canada, you can call 1-919-341-5615. And if you're not able to call in tonight, you can check us out at globalpsychics.com, or you can call us online for readings at 888-509-9999. We have psychics available from 9 in the morning until midnight. And to connect with Jean-Claude, you can check with his website, which is www.goingdeeper.com.
.org.
.org. I knew I had it wrong.
I tell people, and I don't know that I should say this over the air, but what the heck, it's all coming apart anyway. Think of the sexual connotations of going deeper and then the org, and it all
Excellent.
And there you have it, indelibly inscribed.
Now, Jean-Claude, a good question for you at this time, because a lot of people are stuck. What do you think gets people stuck? What is the biggest obstacle in the way of our growth and of our ability to allow and move with this shift?
There are three, and to this I owe great gratitude to Dr. Bruce Joy. In his earliest book, Joy's Way, he spoke about a patient of his who had this incredible experience. She was walking on the beach one day, and it was getting quite dark, and she noticed with every step that she took, a green glow would come from the sand. And when she looked out at the waves, every crest of the wave was glowing green. And it was like eerie. And then she heard this voice that says, I give you three injunctions. And repeated, I give you three injunctions. Do not compare. Do not judge. And delete the need to understand. Don't compare, don't judge, and give up your need to understand.
How wonderful.
Oh, that was so liberating for me. That was such a great teaching. I am forever in his debt for that guidance.
And well, it applies, for example, to the topic that we discussed last week. We had PM Atwater on our show talking about the new children and the labels that are attached to them, and the fact that once we apply a label, then we get into the place of comparing and limiting ourselves.
Oh, I tell you what, if I may, just to amplify on that and digress a bit, when I was at the conference, I met several of these new children. And let me tell you how these children came together. There was a lady who currently lives in Texas. I won't use her name because I don't have her permission.
Uh-huh.
But she had a dream. And her dream was that she would be a school teacher and the room would be filled with very special children. And she knew who each of them were. And what would happen is as she would go through her life, she would see somebody, for example, at an airport. She'd be in Cleveland and pass somebody. And she would say, "You're Daniel." And the kid would look up and said, "Yes, I am." "Oh, my God, you're the school teacher." Every one of these kids had the identical dream and identified her.
PMH Atwater tells the same story. She happened to sit beside two of these children one day in a mall.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the story she tells of the two children who met, who had never seen each other before, and started talking about what they had learned in the class the night before.
Yes. Yes. And it was amazing. But with these kids, none of them came into the group unless they went to her and said, "You are the teacher I had in my dream." So all of these children shared a common dream, and then the universe would arrange it so that the teacher and the children's paths would cross. I was blessed to be at a dinner table with five of them. To be in their, and they range from 16 to about 23.
Oh, wow.
It was, you know, and the talk was wonderful, and the, you know, being able to be with these incredible beings in this metaphysical conference was fantastic. This topped them all.
I bet.
And the freedom with which these kids and their teacher and this beautiful lady exchanged ideas and concepts and quips, it was, I just felt as if I could exhale.
The world is in capable hands at last.
Oh, my God, these kids are phenomenal. You know, it's just, you go, wow. You know, you've like run your lap in the relay race. You've got the baton, and you're wondering, who in God's name am I supposed to pass this to? And there
Speaking of passing something on, what vision do you pass on to the people you speak with? I know you speak all over at many different conferences and events. What is it that you want to enlighten people with, Jean-Claude?
I don't know. I tell them, you know, I tell them pretty much what we've talked about today on the show, that what you see depends on where you're looking from. And I tell people that if I go to bed at night believing something and waking up the next morning believing the same thing, ain't no big deal. I'm stuck. I'm totally stuck. That we need to bring into our lives the fluidity. And then the espavo word that we spoke about before. And then I stress the fact that belief, the only thing that we're willing to fight, die, and defend, is the lowest possible form of processing information. It doesn't get lower than belief. Belief is something that we have no idea about, but we buy into because we were told by people that at some point had authority over us.
It's almost subconscious in our systems.
Oh, it is. It is. It's built in. It's built into the veil, and it's built in out of fear to allow us to find our common herd that we will have agreement with. And the concept is, if enough people believe it and we shout it long enough, then
mm-hmm.
it must be true.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we find some sort of sacred text where people thousands of years ago espoused it, and we now use that as our guide, this must be true. And I know this will offend thousands of people, but the bottom line is, take a look at where our 10,500 different religions and denominations has taken this planet. If any one of them was right, we would not be in this mess.
Yeah.
They are all right, they are all wrong, and none of them agree. And we have to let go of the concept of belief, because it robs us of our curiosity. And I tell
Absolutely
people this simple story. Imagine yourself, you have to go to a very important appointment, and you can't find your car keys. And you're looking high and low, and you're beginning to really panic, because this is a critical meeting for your job or whatever it might be. and you don't know what to do. And all of a sudden you pat your jacket pocket, and lo and behold, there are your keys. What is the very first thing you do when you find them? And people say, oh, I hit my head. And I said, no, before that. Oh, I thank God. I said, no, before that. Oh, I say how stupid I am. I said, no, even before that. And nobody gets it. But the very first thing you do is insidious. You stop looking. So if anybody has given you some sort of package deal on what the nature of God is, and you buy it, which we all do when we accept a religion, our curiosity goes out the window. We stop looking. And that, to me, is the major damage that has been done. And all the religions have a little place where they park their anarchists, and those are the Christian mystics, or the Sufis, or the Kabbalists, or the people who say, you know what? I don't like the package deal. There's a lot more here. And there's a way to go along the track that's set out by Islam or set out by Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or any other religion you wish, that where these people who are outside of the box can play and still remain within the fold. I'm not saying break away from the fold, but begin to ask questions. Rekindle your curiosity. And don't accept things because a fundamentalist preacher has said so, or this is the literal word of the book. The book was written at the end of the day by man. And if we accept the premise that God is all that is, there is nothing but God. Everything is the word of God, no matter in what form it takes, whether it's the classified phone directory in Hong Kong. Or the Quran, or the Torah, or the Bible. It doesn't matter. It is all the Word of God.
And on that note, Jean-Claude, I am going to speak with Janice in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Good evening, Janice. How are you?
Good evening. I'm fine. Thank you.
And Janice, you intuited a number for me. What was the number you came up with?
33.
Well done, darling. That was the number.
I can't believe it. That was the number that I said, that is the number.
Well done, Jean-Claude. You
God
want a
bless.
Reading, too?
No. I'm thrilled. Go.
I'm teasing you. Hello, Janice. So what is your birth date, dear, and your question?
My birthday is September 27th of 1963, and my question is basically, I'm going to shorten it. I've been being too long on this issue, but is my boyfriend and I broke up back in August, and...
I'm sorry, darling. I'm having trouble hearing you. Could you repeat that?
I said my boyfriend and I broke up back in August. It was over a base, well, not even, I really didn't even know why, really, to be honest with you. He just kind of disappeared. Things were fine before that. And I got a little upset with him because I thought he was just ignoring me, so I kind of blew up at him. But then he wouldn't talk to me for about a month. Then he started coming back around, but I haven't seen him, per se. It's just basically he emailed me and stuff like that. But he hasn't exactly set foot back in my door back the way things were. I mean, we had like an 8-month friendship, and then we got intimately involved with each other back in April, and it lasted until August.
Okay.
And now it's like he'll email me from time to time, and even has texted me from time to time. And the last time I saw him, as far as seeing his face, is we drove past each other a week ago. And it's almost like that prompted him to email me because he saw me. When he saw me, he was just staring at me. And then the next day, I got an email from him. I haven't heard from him for a week, in about a week. But the thing is when I do hear from him, it upsets me because I do love this man a great deal, and it really hurt me when we broke up. But I don't know why we really broke up. I don't really know anything. He hasn't told me anything except he... has thrown it back in my face.
Okay, dear. So my sense is that was there someone else? Did he have a relationship with someone where there were children involved?
He was living with a woman for like 3 years. She was an alcoholic, and yes, she had some kids. And then she moved out before we got involved. And I knew she was there, though. I knew that she was around and we were just fun. But he talked to me about her stuff and then they split up. But there were times when he would be at my house and he would be talking to her kids, because mom would be on a drunk rampage or whatever it was she was doing. And they would be talking to him
my feeling, dear, is that whatever that past history was, it kind of pulled him back in. I have to say that chances are this relationship is probably done, dear. That you're looking for more than this man is really able to belly up to the bar and deliver to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know that from a place within yourself. But it's hard for you to give up the hope, right?
Yeah, because I don't understand why he won't let go. He just, like, he keeps writing to me and stuff like that.
Yeah, we've kind of been talking about that this evening on the radio show. Sometimes you just have to let go of the need to understand. Sometimes there just isn't a reason that can be specified, or that even, there may be a reason, but it doesn't really matter because the situation is what it is anyway. Do you understand what I'm trying to say, dear?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter why it ended, because that's not going to change the reality here. I do feel that he still has feelings for you, that there was a real there, and it's no wonder you're feeling bad because you didn't misread him. But what I really want to say is that he was carrying too much baggage, sweetheart, to be able to make it into a sustainable new relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you feel like he's gone back to her, or?
No, I don't think he's actually gone back to her. I think he's gotten pulled back into that situation here and there, but I think what's really gone on is somewhere within him, he's recognized that his life just isn't ready for another relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is the deal with why he's not letting me go then?
Well, like I said, he cares for you, and just like you hold on to the hope, he kind of holds on to a hope that maybe somehow something might magically change, but it's not going to, at least not quickly.
Mm-hmm. So do you ever see us ever getting back together, or what?
Well, I'd say that's possible, but unlikely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, dear.
Like that, some people say, like, springtime, so
That would be the time frame I would give it to, so give it that long and see how it goes. Thanks very much for calling this evening, Janice. If we can be of any further help, you can check us out at globalpsychics.com or toll free. You can call
888-509-9999. Okay.
All right. Have a great night, darling. I hope that helps a little. And
a little, yeah.
And Jean-Claude, are you still with us?
I am very much still with you.
Great. So we have a few minutes left, dear. What message would you like to end the interview on for our listeners?
I think that the perspective that we are now at the front row seats of the greatest spectacle in the cosmos. We've done everything, each of us, to gain entrance to this illusion at this time. All of the beings that are incarnate on this planet at this present time are very, very large, capable beings, or they could not have been here. Even the ones that feel as if they're going through the most difficult times are just brilliant. And then to find a perspective that sees us for who we are, We are the actors, we are the players, we are the playwrights, we are the directors, we're the producers, and we're the audience. We get to affect one of the greatest experiments ever conducted in the cosmos. We are blessed, beyond measure to realize that we are actually bearing witness to the creation. And if
you make my hair stand on end, because back in the 80s, my guide spoke words very close to what you just spoke, saying that I would have the opportunity to bear witness to one of the greatest power struggles ever to have seen on planet Earth.
Yes. And in the cosmos.
Yes.
We are being watched and loved and supported by so many exquisite beings, honoring our free will, honoring at all times our free will. But this is, without question, the most extraordinary time ever experienced on planet Earth.
On that note, Jean-Claude, I want to thank you for a wonderful evening and a great conversation. And I want to remind you, listeners, that next week we have Dan Millman, the Peaceful Warrior, with us. And I'm sure you'll find that as interesting as this evening's discussion with Jean-Claude, all in the same vein of working from within ourselves to create change and press forward with life to empower ourselves to lighten up and embrace the changes that are coming, because at the end of the day, they'll be good for all of us and for the planet. Have a great week, folks. Sending you lots of love. Wishing you a wonderful, wonderful time. And great news for you this week. Somewhere there's got to be some great news. Come watch for it.